Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock on Wednesday, April 5th. This is a meeting of the title board. We're in the Aspen room of the Secretary of State's office at 1700 Broadway. I am Troy Bratton, the representative from the Secretary of State. With me at the table is Sharon Eubanks from the Office of Legislative Legal Services and Fred Yarger from the Office of the Attorney General. Counsel to the board is also at the table, Eric Kuhn from the Office of Attorney General, and a staff member from the Secretary of State, Stephen Ward. We have one item on the agenda today, which is proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 11. Are both the proponents present? All right, thank you. Are there any questions from the board on the initiative? I don't have a script, so step in when needed. Okay. Fred, any questions?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Would you please describe the single subject of your initiative?
Just candidate disclosure of income tax returns.
Okay. Motion. Is there anybody in the audience who wants to testify to the single subject nature of this proposed initiative? Okay, I don't see any. Is there a motion?
I would move that proposed initiative 2017-18 number 11 constitutes a single subject and that we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes unanimously. And it looks like we have a staff draft up on the board. Do the proponents have any comments on the staff draft?
No strong objections to any of the language. A few thoughts. One, just in trying to keep the title and as brief as possible.
Is your microphone on? Would you mind checking if you? Okay.
Sorry. Did you guys catch that?
Yes.
Restated. Okay. Just thinking of ways to truncate the title to make it a bit more succinct, we didn't come up with the language we'd propose or the change we would propose, but in lines 1 and 2, it talks about mandatory disclosure of certain income tax return forms for specified candidates, and then it enumerates them. We didn't know if that could be removed so that it just moves straight to the mandatory disclosure of certain income tax returns for the enumerated candidates as opposed to just to shorten up by a line.
So it would be your suggestion that the list of elected officials that would for the candidates wouldn't even be in the title?
The inverse. So it would just go straight to the list of specified candidates as opposed to first saying specified candidates.
Okay.
Unless anyone wants to discuss that, a second thought, and we realize this is the language in the existing statute that's in part of what our initiative targets, but the second to last line, line 11, it describes the result of failure to make the mandatory disclosures of tax returns is the disqualification as a candidate. We believe that it's more accurately described as a ballot access requirement, and would like it termed as such.
And do you have language that you would use to describe, to change this from being a, quote, disqualification into a ballot access issue? Would it be prohibiting ballot access for those who fail to disclose or something like that?
That's right. So you'd go to that last line 11, perhaps, and say, and a candidate, as a candidate, any person who fails to timely comply with the disclosure requirement is perhaps denied ballot access.
Thank you.
Although on that point, as you mentioned, your initiative amends subsection 3 of 1-45110, and it uses the terminology that they're disqualified as a candidate.
We saw that point, and that's true, and so we understand why if the board disagrees with that proposed change. It just happens to be, I think, that it's misdescribed in the current statute as well, and it's more fairly described as a ballot access requirement.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask whether you wanted to go ahead and start working through it or see if anyone else had comments.
Sure. Is there anybody in the audience that has any other, has any additional comments on the staff draft? Seeing none, I think we could go ahead and start working on it.
Okay. I think I'm in agreement with the proponents in terms of trying to shorten and simplify. Mm-hmm. I may not be in agreement with exactly how we do that, especially in terms of the laundry list of candidates for public office. But if I could just to go ahead and start with the statement of single subject, it seems to me that perhaps we could drop the concerning. I mean, if we talk about a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes mandating the disclosure of, and I would say, federal income tax returns, because I think the measure only deals with federal income tax returns. And I would say candidates for certain elected offices. I don't know that I'm willing to, because in terms of the statement of single subject, to then include all those different offices, that's an awfully long statement of a single subject. And so I'm a little bit more comfortable with talking about it in generalities and then having the list later in the title. But I'm open to that if others think that it's better to have.
I kind of debated this with myself. I wonder, though, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, just saying mandating the disclosure of federal income tax return forms for candidates for certain elected statewide offices.
I think it's federal too.
Yeah, my concern is I don't know if there's sort of a single adjective we could use, because I know what this is getting at. Obviously, this isn't local city council elections and things like that. It's elections to either statewide or federal office.
Well, kind of along those lines, I was thinking first of doing federal and statewide candidates, but I know the "and" kind of causes problems for single subject. But maybe in the illuminated, in the list at in the trailer, instead of listing them all out in the trailer, we can say federal or statewide candidates, federal and statewide candidates.
I would prefer that, just because I think unless the proponents have a strong desire to include that list, shorten it, because this is a short, admirably
right.
short proposed initiative.
I don't think we need it in brief.
And I just don't know if it should be for certain federal or statewide offices, or if this is an all-encompassing list.
It's all-encompassing.
And I think it is, so I think it's okay to admit that.
I'm not sure if there's baggage with this suggestion that I'm not aware of, or if it's something we'd want to incorporate, but I believe it's true to say statewide ballots, that all these offices are distinct to statewide ballots.
Right. And I think I would prefer to leave it as candidates for federal or statewide office, because I think adding the notion of ballot, we'd have to add another clause on there somehow. And I think what it says in the current red line does what we need it to do and is much more succinct.
Can we go back to the single subject statement and maybe get that taken care of? The one other change I would suggest in that statement is to drop the use of the word forms. I would make returns plural, because
right.
to say return forms, I think most people think of their income tax returns. I know that they're a form, but
right.
I think that's confusing. But I think I'm fine in terms of what you suggested on the laundry list of offices, but if we could finish up on the
sure.
single subject and then move down, So I would move the changes that appear on lines 1, 2, and 3 in regard to the statement of the single subject of the measure.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes unanimously.
And then I think we could also, on line 7, drop the reference to forms. And probably, plural, yeah, returns plural.
And I had two other suggestions for this particular clause. First, instead of such candidates' income tax returns, I would just say their. And I'm willing to obviously discuss this, but I would omit for which the candidate has filed such returns with the Federal Internal Revenue Service. I just think I understand if they didn't file returns, they don't have to disclose them. I think that's almost implicit in what's already said, and we don't need that extra verbiage in there.
I agree that I don't like the language in the staff draft, so I'm okay. The one option I came up with in terms of an alternative is to say the five most recent taxable years the returns were filed. I mean, just because, again, I assume if they skipped a year, it's still whatever years they filed for within that five years worth of returns, even though it might be over 6 years or 7 years, if they were ever to skip, which I doubt, but you never know. But I'm fine probably not even having that language, if you think.
I'm okay with the four words clarifying. I think that's perfect. Because I think what it communicates is probably in most circumstances, the people are going to see five tax returns from each candidate. And that's, I believe, what the initiative is trying to do.
I agree.
You want to move it? You want to move it?
Sure. I'll move the changes currently reflecting the red line on lines 3 through 8.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Then I would suggest just removing the phrase about the deadlines, because mm-hmm. I don't think it important, and it doesn't give any details.
Right.
So I think we can just delete the language that starts on line 4 after the semicolon identifying the deadlines by which the filing must be made. Just delete that entire phrase.
I agree.
I agree, too.
So I would move that change.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay. Aye, sorry. Did I not say aye?
It's unanimous.
In terms of the next phrase, I think, again, it might be able to, we might be able to get to condense a couple of the phrases to perhaps saying something like requiring candidates to provide written consent for the Secretary of State to publicly disclose the returns by posting them on the Secretary's website after redaction of certain information, or something like that.
Before we go down that route, can I just identify a possible concern that I had that would leave the two clauses separate, and that is what it says in the initiative is that the redactions shall be personally identifiable information that is not relevant to furthering the public confidence in the integrity of those candidates. My only concern here is that's sort of a judgment call, and I think what this says is the Secretary of State is the public official that will be exercising that kind of judgment. And I wondered if it was germane and important to sort of make that clear in the title. I'm certainly open to discussing that, but that jumped out as me, to me understanding how this might work as sort of there's got to be somebody making the decision about what's going to be publicly available or not, and that's the secretary. And that's a fairly important function as part of this process, and perhaps the most important one because it's the only discretionary function that this initiative would devolve on the Secretary of State.
Were you suggesting removing the redacting part, though, or were you just kind of combining the disclosing and the secretary's website?
Well, let me clarify why I brought that up now, because I think in order to convey that fact, what I just discussed, I think you'd have to leave the clauses separate, and I can explain exactly what I mean and what I think we can do to shorten the first clause, but then I think we'd have to slightly expand the second.
But I'm wondering if we can have two clauses that the first one says directing the Secretary of State to redact certain information and to publicly disclose the returns by posting them on the Secretary of State's website.
And just do away with the consent element, because obviously that's
right.
Maybe not germane, because if they don't disclose their returns, they're not on.
Although if they don't provide written consent, they're also disqualified. I mean, to me, that's...
Right, I guess my point was, either way, whether the secretary doesn't get the returns because they're not disclosed or whether the consent isn't given, either condition disqualifies the candidate. But maybe if I could just quickly explain what I think my vision of the two clauses is, then we can do away with it if we want. But so in that first clause, it would just say requiring candidates to consent to public disclosure of the returns. I think there's a missing two, requiring candidates to consent. To public disclosure of the returns, because I don't frankly think it's terribly relevant whether that consent is written or not. And then that next clause would be something like directing the Secretary of State to redact information on the returns not relevant to public confidence in the integrity of those candidates, and then post the returns on the Secretary's website.
But that's not that much. Is that what you're saying?
One more time, Fred.
Not relevant to public confidence in the integrity of those candidates.
Yeah, because it's narrow. We would just add a concern that discretion is only applicable as to non-public, personally identifiable information.
So maybe certain information should stay in. And my only concern here is making it too verbose as to be unhelpful. But this, to me, at least illustrates or demonstrates to the public that somebody will be having to make a judgment about what to redact and what not. And that could potentially be significant.
I think I may agree with the proponents, though, that if we're adding that not relevant to public confidence in the integrity of those candidates, we may need to specify that the certain information is PII.
Not just
any information that's in the returns.
Well, then maybe I would say personally identifiable information.
Right. And then if we say that, do we need the not relevant to public confidence language?
Yeah, I don't know if the, being, not relevant to public confidence, I don't know if that's as important. Some voters, they might go, what does that mean? It might be a little bit more confusing, whereas at least to include the personally identifiable information, I think, tracks the measure accurately.
That's fine. I think we'd have to leave in the word certain there,
because it's
Stephen.
Only the non-public versus...
And I guess I would just state.
Yes, their name would be.
Sorry.
Released.
Right.
Right.
Their social security number would not.
That's
correct. I think that would be two examples.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I guess I'd just say for the record that some judgment here is going to be made by the Secretary of State, and that seems relevant. I understand the purpose is really probably to disclose as much as possible without identifying sort of embarrassing information that just doesn't need to be in the public domain or something like that, but somebody's going to have to make that judgment call.
Well, it is
the Secretary of State.
If we added some language, not so much in terms of the standard about, you know, not relevant to furthering the public confidence and the integrity of the candidates, but instead, say, directing the redaction of certain personally identifiable information on the returns in the discretion of the Secretary of State, and then post the returns on the Secretary's website, whether that would capture your concept by the Secretary.
Honestly, Sharon, I think I would leave that word out. I think discretion doesn't appear in the title. I don't think it's entirely clear exactly how these decisions will be made. Maybe there'll be rules that govern the Secretary's redaction or something like that. My point is just that this is a significant process. I'm comfortable, I think, with directing the Secretary of State to redact certain personally identifiable information on the returns. But my main concern was retaining that clause to point out that the official to be doing the redaction is the Secretary.
Okay. And I'm fine with that.
So those are my suggestions, and I welcome further to make it shorter.
Well, I'm curious now that I read it again if certain shouldn't be changed to non-public, because the way it reads now, they're directing the Secretary of State to redact certain personally identifiable information almost makes it sound like the initiative directs what that personally identifiable information is.
Well, my concern with the qualifier non-public is all tax returns are non-public. It's a crime to disclose them without the consent of the taxpayer. So I don't know that adds anything substantive to the title.
I would just say I think that non-public is an adjective of information and not tax returns. So it's talking about information.
It modifies the PII.
Yeah.
Understood. I mean, I think information in a return is covered by those confidentiality rules. So, and these wouldn't, I mean, that's the point. These are non-public until they're disclosed anyway. So redacting non-public information, by definition, you're redacting non-public information. Otherwise, it wouldn't have to be redacted. It'd be in the public domain already.
And maybe that's not the answer. To me, the way that reads now, it sounds like the initiative is, or the language of the statute is telling you which PII to redact, and that's not the case.
Well, not specifically, but it's giving
you a
standard.
Directing the Secretary.
It gives a standard that it's non-public, personally identifiable information that is not relevant to furthering the public confidence in the integrity of the candidate.
Okay.
I mean, that's the standard for removal. There could be some, as I would read it, at least the potential for some non-public, personally identifiable information that is not redacted because it is relevant to the public confidence
sure.
in the integrity of the candidate. I don't know what that might be. But it seems like you could.
I think that's right. I think there are two necessary conditions to trigger the redaction.
And whether certain covers both of those in terms of non-public and it's not relevant to furthering. I mean, in a very generalized way rather than laying it all out there. And I just don't know how meaningful it would be to voters
to know
if
those
you lay
two standards.
Out the whole standard.
That's why I tend to just find myself okay with what's on the screen now. We always run into this, whether we just cut and paste right from the initiative and just give the full language or not, and we tend not to like to do that, and I think that's right. So I think what this does, this language does, is key to the public. You won't be seeing, and I think this is significant, you won't be seeing every single dot of information on those returns. And the person who will be deciding what information will be redacted is the Secretary of State. To me, those are the two important points to convey here, and I think that the language on the screen does that.
Okay, want to move it?
I'm good with that. So I would go ahead and move the changes as reflected on lines 5 and 6.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And then in regard to the last clause, although I understand the proponent's argument, I'm uncomfortable deviating from the language of the measure in terms of a disqualification. I think that's our only option. The one thing that I would suggest is that I think there's the possibility for disqualification on two grounds.
Yes.
One is not providing the income tax return. The other is failing to consent to the
right.
release. And so I think that on line 8 now, after disclosure, we need to add and consent and make requirement, plural requirements.
And I'm fine with that. I read, quote, the disclosure requirement to include the consent, because without consent there can be no disclosure, but I'm perfectly fine specifying that both disclosure and consent, again, is required of the candidate in order to remain, stay on the ballot.
And I just refer to the language of the measure where it says or written consent. So
right.
It seems like failure to consent alone could disqualify.
And I think that's absolutely right. I'm just saying.
Sure. I
understand. As a matter of sort of casual language, you could read the disclosure requirement to include both elements.
Right.
So I would move the change as reflected on line 8.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The only other change I might have is on line 7, where that clause starts. Could it say, and disqualifying any candidate who fails to timely comply, instead of disqualifying as a candidate any person who?
I would be fine with that as a matter of brevity. I think that.
I mean, we can take.
I think I'm fine with that too.
I think that in sort of more plain language conveys what's going on, and it's a little bit shorter, so.
Federal or state.
Yeah.
Especially when the requirement to provide the income tax returns, it's a requirement of candidates.
Yes.
So I think that then relates, ties it all in together.
Okay.
Okay, I'd move the changes as reflected on line 7.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I had one more thing.
Sure.
I know since we changed on line 3 to federal statewide office, it looks like on lines 1 and 2, we can tighten that up and take out a few words because it, the way it reads now seems redundant and may just go change to the Colorado by statutes for federal statewide office and just go that way.
So you're suggesting a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes mandating the disclosure of federal income tax returns for candidates for federal or statewide office?
Yeah.
I think Mr. Bratton was concerned that putting the or in there might cause some to think that there were multiple subjects at issue here. I don't.
I've just been conditioned that way.
And I don't.
I guess for the proponents, that's a question in terms of whether you're willing to take that risk.
But putting an and or an or in the statement of single subject.
Well, that the initiative language is what it is for that argument, I guess. So does this changing the title help with that argument or help someone spot that argument?
And I'm inclined to, after thinking about that, leave it as is.
It's my recollection that perhaps in the last cycle where we had a proposed initiative that was dealing with redistricting, reapportionment for congressional and state legislative offices, that they held those to be more than one subject in terms of federal versus state. So in terms of whether they would use that same analysis in this instance or not, I don't know, but.
We have thoughts on a distinction from that, but it's, we don't need to go into it, I don't think, with where this is at.
Okay, any other suggestions or concerns?
Nope.
I don't have any either, unless anybody else on the board has any additional changes.
No, you want to read it for the record?
Yep, I will read it in. So the way it reads right now is a change to the Colorado Revised Statutes mandating the disclosure of federal income tax returns for candidates for certain elected offices and, in connection therewith, requiring that candidates for federal or statewide office file with the Secretary of State copies of their income tax returns for at least the five most recent taxable years the returns were filed, requiring candidates to consent to public disclosure of their returns, directing the Secretary of State to redact certain personally identifiable information on the returns and then post the returns on the Secretary's website, and disqualifying any candidate who fails to timely comply with the disclosure and consent requirements.
I would move the language as it appears on the screen and was read into the record.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes unanimously. And that is the end of our agenda. The time is 2:32.
Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Sure.